Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This is the Celtic Soul Podcast. I'm Andrew Millen, and you're all very welcome back to the show. Folks, thank you so much for sticking with us since, I suppose, May of last year when we were recording most of the things online. But now we're delighted to say that we've moved into our studio here at the Mill, and we can now record in person with people, which makes it a little nicer. We will still be doing stuff on Zoom, obviously, with our North American friends and people in Australia and that. But we hope also to get a venue in Glasgow where we can do some one-on-one recording there as well. Big shout out to everyone who has sponsored the podcast since we started. Without you, we wouldn't be here today. So if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, you like what we do, or you want to sponsor the fanzine, you can contact us at info@celticfanzine.com and we'll give you all the details there. Don't forget to visit the website, celticfanzine.com, where you'll find all our news and articles on a daily basis. Follow us on social media. You'll find us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn and Instagram. We have some new T-shirts out. We've done some new reprints of, I suppose, the popular ones. And they're on our online shop, CelticFanzine.com/shop, where you'll also find our fanzine. And I suppose it's not an apology, but I want to thank everyone for purchasing issue 119 of the fanzine. We're going 21 years now, and without you again, we wouldn't be possible, especially during the lockdown when we had no access to ground sales or shops. So that would, in turn, I suppose, built up a great subscription base, and we thank you all. It's another sellout of the print issue, but you can still download the digital issue if you visit the website, and I'll plug it again, CelticFanzine.com. Well, folks, today on the show, I'm joined by Johnny Rice, or as known to me as Johnny Ramone from our DJing days, and Johnny is also known as DJ Defensive Mix-Up, and anyone on the reggae scene will know Johnny very well. But anyone on the Sligo Rovers scene will also know Johnny very, very well, because he's a die-hard Sligo fan, and with Celtic having so many connections with Sligo, including the signing of our new boy, Johnny Kenny, we said, you know what, we've got the studio now, let's get someone that's based locally in and have a chat with them. Johnny, you're very welcome to the Celtic Soul Podcast.
Thank you very much indeed, Andrew. I'm like yourself, delighted that the lockdown is over, delighted I can actually meet up with you in person. I probably haven't a really chance to have a chat with you since we had that great summer of love there in the Cross and Fusion, where we're doing the reggae every Sunday. What a time that was. So looking back at that, so it's great to see you, Andrew, and thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, and it's great because when we had a brief spell where we could bring people into the studio, we had, I suppose, the third part of them reggae Sunday afternoons, which was Baz, and we had Baz in on the show, and we had a great chat with Baz as well. But hopefully, Johnny, we'll be back all together again in the summer and doing it, and I'm sure you're looking forward to getting back on stage at Electric Picnic, the big one.
Yeah, it looks very much, Andrew, like all that will go ahead again, which is great. There's plans going ahead, so everyone's kind of crawling back out of their bunkers and dusting themselves down. So it's very exciting because it's been a tough 2 years where everyone was the music and the summer was so important in the reggae calendar. The festivals and so on are extremely important part of it, so it's just really exciting to have that back. And just on the same vein, the League of Ireland season is just about to start as well, Andrew, and so we're all set to go to the first game. Sligo kick off 7:45 February the 19th at home to Bohemians. The grass will be cut, the new jerseys will be on, the wintergreen will be flown, and we were concerned if Sligo's capacity at the showgrounds would be 6,000. That had been reduced to half with the restrictions and so on. And for the first home game of the season in the last number of years, it's pretty common for us to get about 3,500. Bohemians, I reckon, will have about 500. So it was going to be a squeeze. So it's great now, all restrictions lifted. I reckon we could have 4,000 at that game, which would be very exciting.
And of course, Johnny, League of Ireland needs people, because they don't have the big budgets that their counterparts across the water in England.
Absolutely, Andrew. Yeah, exactly. It's a cash on the gate business, if you like, really. So much of there isn't a television income, and there's not a lot of advertising income either. So it's very much the league. Operates, most clubs operate basically on their gate receipts. Sligo is a sports cooperative. It's owned, if you like, by the people. It relies every single year on voluntary contributions in the area of about £300,000 to £500,000 from the fans, and the rest is gate money. And there have been attempts in the past to do strategic plans and so on to see how to monetize the club, be less reliant on just the gate receipt on a Friday night and so on. There have been attempts to, you know, for instance, online selling of programs and so on. So good efforts have been made that way. But essentially, League of Ireland football comes down to probably one third sponsorship and fundraising and two thirds gate money.
Yeah, and Bow's another big Irish club, a very historic club. And what do we have? Yeah, what do you think of the new jersey?
Well, absolutely delighted with Andrew, same as you. Yeah, and it was really fantastic. I felt sorry for them 2 years ago or whatever when they had the first go. I think the Marley estate is probably a difficult operation to try and work with, because there'll be a lot of vested interests. They didn't seem to have the right clearance for it. As I sit here, actually, I'm wearing the nice new Ajax Marley tracksuit. So this time they've got it all in place, apparently through Universal Records. And I'm sure you saw it yourself, the Marley on Facebook, Marley Estate on Facebook and Solar right behind it. And so it's prestigious, and I think they'll do very well worldwide with that jersey. And in turn, it'll lift the profile of the league.
Yeah, Johnny, I am a bit offended with you wearing that Ajax top in the studio. It's a team that I don't really like for various reasons. They're not the nicest of fans to go to visit the city. And when they visit Glasgow, they generally cause trouble.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's the reggae part that I'm...
I'll let you away with that, Johnny. Johnny, just, you know, it's great to have you in, and a couple of weeks ago, I had one of reggae's greatest drummers, you know, Birmingham man, Jimmy Brown was in, and I had him on Zoom, and we had done a great interview, and he was saying as well, you know, they just cannot wait to get back to playing live. So, like, it's just between music and football coming back at the same time. It's just absolutely, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant, Andrew. And I'm just actually starting to plan out a few things. One of the things I'm looking at the moment, there's a City Splash Festival in Brockley Park in Brixton in the end of May. What they're looking at is 6 stages, 60 acts, 15,000 people, special rum bar, jerk chicken food. So I'm lining myself up for that. That's just so exciting. Last year, or 2 years ago, I actually lined myself up for Rotherham Festival in Benicassim. Toots and the Maytals was the headline. And, you know, it's very sad now, actually, when you think back, you know, that obviously Toots has moved on. So, but it's very exciting to be able to sit here and say, well, I'll have a go at that. I'll try and make that festival, or I'll make the other one. So it's all coming opening out now, which is great.
Yeah, I was in Glasgow last Saturday for one of the most dramatic days I've had in a long time in anything, because Rangers drew 3-3 up in Dingwall against Ross County, And I was watching it in Celtic Park in one of the lounges. And when that equalising goal went in the last minute, the place absolutely erupted. Now, this was a place a couple of weeks ago. We couldn't go to the bar and we couldn't get a drink. We all had to sit, you know, social distance. So within such a short time, we were jumping around, hugging each other. Then that carried on for 90 minutes of, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. You know, it was Dundee United, dogged, you know, better team than most people give them credit for, I think. You know, they sat in, they defended well. We just couldn't break them down. And then, you know, sometimes football gives you that, you know, most beautiful is the feelings.
Yeah.
When a batter hits the ball, you know, from close range, Jota gives the ball in. What a brilliant ball. And all of a sudden, 60,000 people erupt together.
Yeah.
You know, and like, no better place than a football game to, you know, I heard the saying, you know, Freedom Friday and stuff like that when we were coming out of lockdown.
Yeah.
But no better way for, no matter what you're into, like, you know, there'll be people going to see the rugby. They'll be loving getting back. But I left anyway and I was on a high. And I have to say, Johnny, I was enjoying a few drinks.
Sure, yeah.
And I was in packed bars.
Yeah, yeah.
For the first time, you know, like it wasn't like this, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So many people in, book a table, sit down, waitress. I was in bars just ordering, you know, this was like, you know, dream stuff. Stuff I could only dream of over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So the Jam, or from the Jam, and the Selector were playing in the Barrowlands.
Yeah.
And I just said to my pal, you know what, I'm just going to stroll across and see if I can get in.
Yeah.
And the Barrowlands, I don't know if you've ever been in, I'm sure you have. Oh, it's a very, very famous ballroom, old school.
Yeah, yeah.
I went in, I went over, and I just happened to bump into a lad that listens to the podcast, and he had a spare ticket.
Yeah, wow.
And he heard me saying to the bouncers or the security girls, is there any tickets left? And they were checking for me.
Yeah.
He came up and he said, you're the guy from the Celtic Soul podcast. He says, I've got a ticket. My mate hasn't turned up. 30 quid. Gave him the 30 quid. We went in. We had a few beers. And I got to see two bands. I danced.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, I didn't realise at the time until the next morning. I had to be up really early to get an early flight out of Edinburgh. I get on the plane, Johnny, right? And I'm sitting down, right? And I'm exhausted. But I didn't care.
Yeah.
Because even though I've been back at football for 6 months, you know, with various degrees of crowds and restrictions and what have you, including going and not getting into games.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, I was coming home and I was going, that's actually back, you know.
Yes, it's real, yeah.
Football and music on the one day and a few beers. You know, and anyone that's looking forward to the League of Ireland starting, you know, all the Sligo fans and the Bows fans, they must be buzzing for this, you know. Absolutely. And as well as that, international football's coming back. Full stadiums.
Yeah, you triggered a lot of memories just in the few things you were saying there. The first thing that you mentioned, the Jam there, I saw the Jam in the Edinburgh Playhouse in 1983. And the next day I came back to Dublin and was queuing up in the bank there in Dublin, and the guy standing in the queue behind me was Bono, just an ordinary punter. He's actually smaller than me. And I said, "Hi, Bono, I saw the Jam in Edinburgh last night." And I always remember the first thing, the answer he gave me, he says straight away, he says, "Well, what is it you do yourself?" So it really fits in with what you two profile. Those guys were switched on. They were always looking for the next move.
Yeah.
So his first question was, "Well, what is it you do? And is there anything maybe that he should be linking on?" But what a great show that was, the Edinburgh Playhouse, the Jam. And then the second thing that I was intrigued with there, you mentioned Dundee United and Celtic. I remember being over during the Roy Keane time, maybe you were at the game yourself, Dundee against, or it was at Parkhead, Celtic against Dundee. And we went across and we were disappointed. Roy wasn't playing. He was on the substitutes bench. Gordon Strachan was the manager. And but anyway, the good news was Roy suddenly started warming up, so he's coming on. And whatever happened between just before he came on, Dundee scored, and they held off obviously on the bringing him on, and then he never came on. So we were all wondering what happened there. How come he didn't come on? And it turned out in the papers the next day he'd said to Strachan, "Do you mind if I just nip down here to go to the toilet for a second?" And by the time he came back, Dundee had scored again. So he never got on. And I was just thinking, you're paying the guy X thousand a week. He could have gone to the toilet like before the 10 minutes you needed him.
Yeah, unfortunately we didn't have Roy Keane for long. and we had him at the end of his career, but he did, you know, star in the midfield alongside Neil Lennon and gave Barry Ferguson a lesson when we went to Ibrox and they bossed the game. That was a, I'm sure that's a good memory he has. Listen, just going to move on now to the Sligo connection.
Not interrupting you there, but just in the Barrowlands, I saw the Ramones in the Barrowlands.
Oh, so you're not finished talking about music?
Not finished talking about music in the Barrowlands.
I'm getting jealous here on the Jam in Edinburgh and the Ramones in Glasgow.
Ramones in Glasgow, yeah. But what a great place to see the Ramones at the Barrowlands. It was incredible. All you saw was the four little red lights from the Marshall lamps, and then you saw the four black sheeps coming on and gabba gabba hey, and away you go. It's fantastic, yeah. Had lovely memory.
Great memories, Johnny. As I said, we're coming out of COVID. You're going to be back DJing. You're going to be back watching Sligo Rovers. But with Sligo Rovers and with Sligo in general, there's a great connection, you know. The great brother Walford, Andrew Kearns, a founding father of Celtic. You know, statues in his hometown of Ballymote, statues outside Celtic Park. A man who is, you know, has legendary status, you know, at Celtic in Glasgow and indeed throughout the world with Celtic fans, you know, and a Sligo man. Then we had the very famous Sean Fallon, the Iron Man, who is, you know, another complete legend. And I met Sean Fallon at the Brother Walford Monument launch in Sligo. And I had the pleasure of being in his company and listening to some of his stories. And he told about, you know, how the Celtic team had come over to train in Sligo, and someone had gone in, one of the players had gone in and saved his sister, and he always wanted to play for Celtic. And obviously then he was, you know, he was Jock Steen's number two, Lisbon. So, the connection is huge, and it keeps growing, because before I go into the Willie McStay connection, Johnny, I just want to get your take on the new boy that's come in, 18-year-old Johnny Kenny.
Yeah. I suppose everyone in Sligo is really excited that Johnny Kenny has gone to Glasgow Celtic, of all clubs. There's always great excitement entering the league when a player goes from the League of Ireland to Scotland or to England, because the constant debate with all League of Ireland fans is exactly where does the standard fit in, where do the players fit in. So as soon as something happens and a player goes to Scotland or England, and laterally, actually, they're all going to Italy now, it's a chance to measure yourself. Just memories. 1976 was the first time we had a player, Paul McGee, the great Paul McGee, 19 times Irish international. He went straight from the Sligo Rovers team that won the league in 1977, straight to Queen's Park Rangers, and he was on the big match the next week, scoring goals instantly in the old First Division, as it was called then. So he was one of the first players that went straight from Sligo in 1977 into the old First Division in England and was able to do it. So he was a fantastic example. So Johnny Kenny now is going to Celtic. There was a lot of talk all season. It's only his first full season with Sligo. He's come through the 17s and the 19s from kids football before that with our Harps. He wasn't expected that he'd even be a first team regular, really, last season. He's still at school. He was just doing his leaving cert. It was, Sligo would be unique as well in the League of Ireland that we've always had a full time professional policy. And we had a lot of full time professional players, a full squad in Sligo. Johnny Kenny was brought in really on to see, there was high hopes, all right, but he wasn't expected to be in the first 11 every week, and he just gradually started playing his way in. Every time he played, he impressed, he was scoring goals, and once we were about halfway through the season, he was a regular. So then he played with the Irish under-21s as well, scored in three games in a row. So his profile has been building all season, and now he goes to Celtic, and there's just great excitement to see how that will work out.
Yeah, and he's going into a league which is stronger than the League of Ireland, but he's going into the B team, who play in the Lowden League, which is a senior league, but it wouldn't be as strong as the League of Ireland. So I would imagine once he gets up to the speed of fitness that they're looking at a Celtic, because Ange Postecoglou once the B team playing his style. Tommy McIntyre has them playing that. But he also wants them to be able to come up and train with the first team, because they need to know, you know, because before Christmas we had to call up a couple of young players, and they were he was happy that they were ready because they'd been training with the first team on and off. They knew the intensity of the game he plays, because it is quite a high pressing game. You know, and we've had 16-year-old breaking into the first team against Dundee United. So there's lots of opportunities for young people, even though we are bringing in, you know, it looks like he's building a team now that, you know, each player will be as good as what's in front of them, or almost as good. Because I look to the team now and I look at Kyogo, Japanese international. You know, I imagine him when he's fit playing 60 minutes and then replaced by Japanese international Maeda. You know, so it's like for like, you know, people who are used to his system, player, you know, throughout the team, we're looking at two players for every position, as good as, you know, hopefully that they can raise the game. And when they do come in, it seems like it's flawless. It seems like, you know, but I think against Hearts recently, we were probably, Johnny, a little jaded looking with 30 minutes to go, because it was such a high pressing game for 60 minutes. And with players out injured and players in international duty with Australia and Japan, he probably didn't have those he wanted to call and had to maybe, you know, go with what he had. So, but they seen the game out. So that's a kind of a thing. And I think that will, you know, I know they watched Johnny a lot. There was a lot of reports sent. I know William McStay was over watching him, and other chief scouts came over. You know, the reports that I've seen, and they, you know, can play with both feet, can score goals with his head, can score goals from tap-ins, can score goals from outside the box, has plenty of energy, you know. And at the moment, you know, he's probably fourth or fifth choice striker at Celtic.
Yeah.
But one or two injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could see Johnny maybe making the bench by the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everything you're saying there is correct, Andrew. And one thing the Celtic fans mightn't know is that he's coming from with a great pedigree. His dad, Johnny Kenny, as well, started playing with Sligo in 1994. And he was part of the team managed by Willie McStay. Willie came over to Sligo in 1994. The team were relegated to the First Division. Willie was only there for about 5 or 6 weeks, and then they were relegated. He rebuilt the squad completely, and that squad came back and won the treble the following season. They won the First Division Championship, they won the Shield, and they won the FAI Cup, beating Derry City at the old Lansdowne Road there in a very wet April day. But Willie was player manager at that time. He brought a few other boys over from Scotland. Mark McLean, who was goalkeeper. Mark was actually from Celtic, had come through the Celtic club, and he had a chap, Eddie Annand, who went on to play for Ayr United, actually. So there was quite a few Scottish lads, a few Australian lads, and some Irish guys. But one of those players was Johnny Kenny. And I just noticed, actually, before I came in to see you there, I was looking at an old photograph of the 94 team, and in the front row is Johnny Kenny Senior, and right behind him is Willie McStay. So who could have predicted that in, what, that 27 years later, his young lad would be going across working with William McStay in Glasgow. It's just a nice connection and a nice symmetry. But his dad and the sort of temperament maybe that he's coming from was just a lovely, lovely player. Right winger, very simple player, ball played out to him straight to the end line and whip it across. Not a flashy player, but hugely effective. And a great work ethic as well, and a very sort of humble person, but a man as well. That after he finished playing, you'd often see him back at the ground. He loves Sligo Rovers. So I'd imagine that young John will be full of confidence going over to Glasgow. He's had a whirlwind last 2 or 3 years. He's been building. Everything has been positive. He's going to Celtic at 18 years of age, full of confidence again. I think there'll be quite a few people at the club looking out for him, from Willie McStay, and, as you say, Angelo is looking after him as well. He's apparently spoken to him and spoken highly of him. And so the opportunity is really there for him now. We've seen as well that, if you like, another example would be Jamie McGrath, who went across from Dundalk. He's done extremely well with St Mirren. just moved to Wigan there in the last while. But that's another example of a player that's come into the League of Ireland. I think that'll give players like Johnny Kenny as well a sort of a base mark or a base mark of confidence to say, yeah, well, I can do it. Celtic is a huge club. It's obviously no comparison with St Mirren. But the better the players you're playing with, the higher the intensity of the training, the quicker he will develop. And it's a true test. It's a real opportunity for him.
Yeah, Jim Goodman done a brilliant job, and he's doing a brilliant job at St Mirren at a small club, a small budget, to bring McGrath in. That was a great signing. But when I look at McGrath, you know, an Irish international playing in the team, like, a lot of Irish managers wouldn't have looked towards Scotland, not even Celtic. But because Kenny knew him, Stephen Kenny knew him from when he was a kid, he was willing to give him a chance, you know, and he's a full Irish international, you know, he's in that starting 11. And that's just, you know, testimony. He's gone down to Wigan now. He'll be, I'm sure he's going to be on more money down there.
Yeah.
And he'll be missed by St Mirren. But at the same time, see, with the Brexit now, Johnny, as well, Willie McStay was, we had Willie at one of the Celtic AMs, and he was explaining to us, you know, how it's working now. They would have been looking in Ireland at, you know, underage players, taking them about 16. And, you know, walking with them, developing them. And one thing I'll say about the Celtic youth system, even the players that don't make it, they generally go on and have a half-decent career, because a lot of clubs will be happy that the system they come through.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
and the football education they've got. So they'll be happy to take them and take a chance on them. You know, and a lot of them will go out and loan. Some come back, like Callum McGregor, become club captain. Others will go out and loan and they'll move on.
Yeah.
Leo O'Connor, you know, never really got a chance. He moves on. And this happens, you know, all clubs. But, you know, there's probably an added pressure when you're with a big, big club.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Celtic are a big club. Yeah. But, like, what I'm hearing is, like, just with the William McStay stuff, so they can't take a kid now till he's 18 from Ireland because of Brexit. So what they've done is they've had to move a lot of the scouts up the north. So they're looking in the north, and they're looking, you know, in England and that, at players that, you know, that age group to bring through. So that gives the League of Ireland time to develop players like Kenny, who probably got a bit of luck with COVID as well.
Yes, yeah.
You know, maybe he was good enough to get in the team, but you know yourself, the League of Ireland has a, you know, of rotating players around different teams, you know, because the League of Ireland players.
Yeah. Well, you see, it's very interesting as well. Like, what's coming through my mind there really is the whole development pathway that's come through in the League of Ireland in recent times, which has been hugely positive as well. And players like Jamie McGrath and chaps like that, they've come through the under-17 and under-19 National League, then into the first teams of the League of Ireland, and then they're ready to go abroad. And there's a lot of commentary at the moment, and I'm sure you've heard it as well, people saying that a player is better to stay in Ireland, get maybe 100 games under his belt, senior football, which is a better pathway than going over too early and then playing in development leagues and in the under-23s and friendly leagues, for want of a better word. Another example there, just actually in the last couple of weeks, is John Mahon, who's moved from Sligo to St Johnstone. And he was hotly tipped to move to Celtic as well. But this kid is another example. John Mahon, he's from Ballesteira United, came into Sligo Rovers under-17s, came into Sligo under-19s, then into the first team. He's played over 100 games for the first team, and he's now gone to St Johnstone. He's a battle-hardened centre-half already, and he's only 22. And he's had a chance to develop in the league.
And they could do it.
They'd certainly be busy. but it's a fantastic example of the new pathway. So what's changed completely within the whole Irish pathway in the last while, as you know, is that they brought in the underage leagues. The previously was the Kennedy Cup at under 14, and the best Kennedy Cup players either went direct to England at 14 or 15, or continued on through to some of the Dublin clubs and the Dublin youth clubs, and then across the water. Now what's happening is all the League of Ireland clubs are at the forefront. They've all got Sligo, for instance, at the moment, will have a senior team. They have under 19s, 17s, 15s, men's. And we've, for the first time now, we've got a senior ladies team as well, which is fantastic. And we have an under 19 ladies team. So all those pathways are allowing the best are playing the best. They're playing in good stadiums and good pitches with good coaching, the very best coaching. And they're staying in Ireland, as you say, maybe fortuitously due to Brexit, is giving a breathing space to the League of Ireland clubs to develop those players. They're also signing, the League of Ireland club has been careful to sign the player up with release clauses and all, so they can get some reward for, I know there was the 5% of the 5%, which did help with clubs that say let Robbie Keane go on the past and so on, Damien Duff, all those guys contributed a lot back to their
Steve
clubs.
Steve Staunton
indeed. So both of those examples, John Mahan went to St Johnstone for £100,000, Johnny Kenny for £150,000 plus add-ons. So that's a quarter of £1 million for Sligo Rovers. There's some add-ons in it. And it also is a huge encouragement, obviously, for all the other players coming through the youth setup that it can be done. There is a pathway, direct pathway now, the whole way through into the Sligo Rovers first team or further afield. So it's starting to work. And I think a great credit to the FAI, Kuhlmans and all those people who put those, Rude Doctor, he's just retired there recently. So there's a big pressure on now to make sure to continue with that progress.
Yeah, but I think kids will look now and say, that's a route I might go down. That's a route. And like we said earlier on, the importance of, you know, money to the League of Ireland to survive, the importance of fans. But a quarter of a million from two players you developed, that's quite a good return.
Well, ironically, Andrew, it's exactly equivalent to winning the League of Ireland prize money-wise for 3 years in a row. The prize money for winning the League of Ireland is £100,000, but the club has to pay £18,000 a year registration to pay for the referees and affiliation fees. And all you have at the end of that is you get 28 Umbro footballs. So it's a tough league. Your net prize money is £88,000. So a quarter of a million selling two players like that is tremendous for the club.
Yeah, now we have a kind of mix of League of Ireland fans. I know League of Ireland fans who are diehard League of Ireland fans, no interest in any other club across the water. I also have know a lot of League of Ireland fans who will be, I suppose, regular on Barstools on a Sunday afternoon watching Sky, but they still support the local team or they support the club. And then there's also ones like, I suppose, lads I travel with who are, you know, Drogheda United fans, Dundalk fans, Bowes fans, Rovers fans, Pats fans. There might be even one or two Shells fans and the Cork City fans. And I meet them regularly in Glasgow, or I travel regularly with them. And they have an affiliation to Celtic, a massive affiliation. And I suppose Jason Maloney, a Shamrock Rovers fan who, you know, you're the same vintage of me, you'll remember the fanzines, you know, even though we're still doing one, but back in the day, they were everywhere. You know, there used to be a listing when Saturday comes. Every club had a couple. But the Glen Mellor Gazette was one of the Rovers ones. And we've had Jason on the podcast, and he's an encyclopedia in football, you know. Not only does he go to see Rovers and Celtic, he goes to see FC United and St. Pauli. And, you know, he's just he just loves his football. He put a brilliant post up there around the festive period. He goes up every year to see Cliftonville, you know, and he goes into details about his pizzas and his beer and everything. But it's that lovely way of his fanzine writer still in him, you know.
Yeah.
And but he always says, you know, he's married to Rovers, but his mistress is Celtic. So is there anyone else for Johnny?
Well, you mentioned St Pauli there as your pass by. When I was a kid, I was a Leeds United supporter. In the 1970s, you know, Gary Sprague, Paul Reaney, Terry Cooper, Norman Hunter, Billy Bramner, Jack Charlton, Peter Lorimer, Eddie Gray, Mick Jones, Alan Clark.
Sounds like a team Celtic, Pete.
Exactly, it used to be the Battle of Britain. Remember the Battle of Britons? So that was fantastic. So I was very interested in Leeds that time. Latterly, I'm very lucky I managed to get over to see St Pauli 2 years ago, I think it was, against Karlsruhe in the Milan Tour. I just loved it. I actually had Marie with me, and she's not a particular football fan, but she said that was something. I just love when I'm out and about. I love going to other grounds. I went to Valencia there a few years back, and we were in to see Valencia against Villarreal. And it's just so beautiful. We're six rows up.
The Mesa.
I've
been in it. Yes. It's an old stadium.
It's a fantastic old stadium.
It's a freezing stadium in November, let me tell you.
I could imagine, because we were there pretty much in September, but we were six rows up at the very highest point, and it started off not too bad, but it does get cold. But you have a beautiful view of the pitch. We've gone to see Roma, we've gone to see... anywhere we get a chance. The last time I was in Portugal, and I went to see the opening of the new stand of Sagres in the Algarve League. About 300 people there, and all the normal football people were there. Every personality you can imagine, they were all represented at this. And so anywhere you go, you just love to see the team, love to see. But the only team that I absolutely make sure the result every week is Sligo. And it's kind of a family connection thing, really. It's like my wife, her father was a season ticket holder. All her family are Sligo Rovers. The Cantonese pub in Sligo, 100% Sligo Rovers. A lot of people that I talk to, it's Sligo Rovers is the common bond. So it's just something that brings us all together. It's a kind of a movement, you know. It's exciting.
And how big is I look at Drogheda, our local team, and I know all the Drogheda hardcore lads. The Ultras who were doing a brilliant job, even the Rovers fans were talking about them when at the end of last season, and you know Ultras get a bad, you know, they get a bad press sometimes, but you know they breed such life into a game, and it's great to have that, because for many years especially in the fourth division, like you'd be going to Drogheda United games and you know there wouldn't be a lot at them. The team went great and there wasn't a lot of atmosphere, you know. And, you know, when you see young lads going in now and, you know, drums and colour and flares, and it just brings so much. But up in Sligo, how much part of the community is Sligo Rovers?
Yeah, well, yes. What I find is you go down to Sligo as you're walking around, as you're walking around the town, you will see these little Sligo Rovers stickers. An awful lot of the pubs will have a sticker, "We're supporting Sligo Rovers." You'll see people walking around wearing the jerseys. There's two official shops in Sligo where you can buy the kit and all the memorabilia and the merchandise. There's the Bitter Red Supporters Trust in Sligo, which is a very interesting group. They've put together, they have their own podcast, the Bitter Red Supporters Trust podcast, and they've also built in the stadium a pavilion where they have put together a kind of a museum piece, if you like, where they put together all old memorabilia, badges, programs and so on. And everyone's invited to come in there before the game and just to look at all the exhibit that they have a cup of tea, have a bit of a chat. And they've done all that voluntary. It cost them something like 30,000 or 40,000 to put it all together, but they've done that themselves. Then there's another thing, the Sligo Rovers Historical Trust, which is another incredible outfit. They've put together an outdoor museum exhibition, if you like. They got a grant through the EU Leader Fund. And so they have a whole pile of photographs, metal display boards in the Sligo Showgrounds. Now, when I talk about that, I would say maybe 50, something like that, chronicling the teams, the players, the personalities, and the drama of the club over there. The club is now 95 years old, 1928. So they're working actively. Sligo Rovers Historical Trust, you're a bit of Red Supporters Trust. A while back, they had an initiative at the Showgrounds as well, where you could buy a brick and a wall for £100 to commemorate a Sligo Rovers supporter. They've sold out completely. There's something like 300-400 of them in place already. And it's very often people putting up a memorial to a relative that supported Rovers and that maybe had passed on. So that could, there's no question at all. I remember one time before I think it was the cup final in 2009, I was in the Rover shop and there was a tiny little child in there being kitted out by his mother, and she said, "There you go, you look like your grandfather now." And that to me sums it up. It's totally transgenerational. It's the grandfather. In this case, it was the daughter dressing the son, her son, to look like the granddad in the Rovers kit. And that's what Sligo Rovers is all about.
Do you know a lad called Donnie Cairns? Downey, I met Downey in Philadelphia at a Celtic supporters function and we got chatting. I've met him a number of times at different events in America and he is Sligo Rovers diehard. You know, he'd come home for a couple of games every year, all the way from New York, you know. So, yeah, he loves the club and, yeah, he's involved in bits and pieces because he knows Willie and so forth. But, you know, you said it's a family thing that, you know, that's handed down. And maybe that's how Willie McStay just got the whole Sligo Rovers thing because he comes from a dynasty. The McStay dynasty in Glasgow, you know, going back to the early days of the club, you know. Jimmy McStay managing the club, you know, playing for the club. Willie's uncle's playing for the club and then Willie and his two brothers playing for the club and obviously, you know, Paul being, you know, one, if not the greatest midfielder we've had, but many people would argue with it that maybe it's Bobby Moorick, but he's certainly in the top 11. He's in the 11, the greatest, he's voted in the greatest 11 players to ever wear the hoops and what an honour that is. But Willie came over here and probably stepped out of Paul's shadow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about, say, Willie McStay, there's certain managers just have a perfect fit with Sligo Rovers. Because Sligo Rovers being a community club, a transgenerational club, if you like, and so on, there's certain personalities, people that suit us. And Willie McStay was perfect for Sligo Rovers. He came over at a very bad time. It was in the mid-90s, early 90s. As I say, we actually went straight into relegation, so we were in the first division. We'd come through a period in the late 80s, early 90s with Donald Reardon was the manager and we just marooned in mid-table first division. That was a difficult time. We got out of that with Sean Connor. Sean was great. You might remember Sean Connor. Sean came in and got us promoted to the Premier League. I always remember I actually left Drogheda with my two sons. We got on the train at Laytown and we headed up to Dublin. And then from Dublin down to Sligo on the train. But we were heading into Dublin on the train. We were only three people. The train was full of Irish rugby fans in the green and white. And we were sitting there in our little three of us with the red and white. And this guy says, look, this is, do you mind me asking you, where the F are you fellas going? So I said, we're going down to Sligo Rovers. We're playing at Lone Town at home. And if we can get 1 point, we're promoted. And we crushed at Lone that night, nil all. And we were promoted. And Porrick Moore and all those guys were playing. So up we go to the first division. But Willie came in, relegated, built a brand new team, and as I say, won the treble that season. And he's pictured, as I say, behind Johnny Kenny. And you can see the sponsors on the jersey that season was EBS, Education Building Society. And things in Sligo at that stage were so bad that the club weren't able to get any individual sponsor of enough acumen to buy out the full sponsorship. So they raffled the shirt sponsorship that year, £300 a ticket. I think they raised 30 or 40,000 in total. But the EBS were the proud sponsors of treble winning Sligo Rovers team for £300. And they're still on my wall and there are lots of walls everywhere, EBS. With the iconic sort of red and black jersey, EBS, and Willie McStay there. He built a great squad. And what a lovely guy he was. I have my own little story about Willie McStay. We were going over again to see Celtic, and I cheekily decided I would actually ring Celtic direct and ask him would he meet us just to say hello, because he'd just left Sligo and go back scouting for Celtic. And so that was funny. Someone left a message, here, there and everywhere. But anyway, on the Friday evening, just before we left to go over to Scotland, I got a message from my wife to say some guy from Scotland had rang to say he couldn't meet us. And she said, I don't know who he was, but he's a Scottish guy anyway. But that was actually Willie rang me at home that night, even though I don't actually know the guy personally. And I thought it was a really nice idea. He said he had to go scouting in St. Johnson or something. So that's the sort of guy he was. His wife was had Sligo connections as well. And of course, he's been coming back and over since. And it's a wonderful strength for Sligo to have that connection with Celtic, because Willie McStay will take very seriously any player coming through in Sligo. You know, he'll certainly make every effort if the kid is up to it to promote him and so on. So it's a great, great connection. And we were delighted to have him, you know.
Yeah, and I think with the signing of Johnny Kenny, we know Hibs were looking at him. And you know what, they now have Sean Maloney, and if, you know, there's a lot of talk about how good Sean is, but that will be the proof of being the pudding. But so I look there and I say, right, Hibs are in, there was German teams in and there was Dutch teams in. This is what we're led to believe. It was scouting the man from the information I have, I believe it's true. But I'm sure that Willie and Mr. Kenny, who Willie played with, I'm sure they had conversations.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, as you get older and as you get wiser, Andrew, you realise that in football, everything is connections. And everything, happy coincidences. It's not just all planned out in straight lines. So that's exactly how things happen. And as I said, it just suddenly just occurred to me, looking at that picture, there they are. They're side by side in the same team, and now it's coming on further. But and as I said, the connection, the whole Celtic connection in Sligo. For instance, there's the training centre beside the main stadium in Sligo, of course, is called the Sean Fallon Centre. That was only developed in the last, say, 10 years. It's it comprises a full all-weather pitch and two grass pitches. That is a wonderful facility to have right beside the main pitch, so the players can use all the facilities, dressing room facilities and so on, recovery room facilities of the showgrounds, but they're able to train, if necessary, on the all-weather pitch right beside the main stadium. So, and that's, you know, big banner there, the Sean Fallon Centre. So every Sligo Rovers supporter is aware of that sort of lineage and that sort of link. And that's why it makes it really exciting that Johnny Kenny has gone to Celtic. Probably the only problem he'll have is playing against John Mahon in Johnston.
Wouldn't that be lovely at the end of the season if they're playing against each other?
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in, not only just in for a chat, but to have someone sitting beside me or across from me, because although Zoom is great, and next week I'll be on to someone in North America, but you know, all that's missing now, Johnny, is 2 points, and we could we could chat all night.
Absolutely, been an absolute pleasure, Andrew, meeting with you again and talking about Sligo Rovers, talking about Celtic, and talking about music. Fantastic.
Yeah, nice. But I suppose, you know, rock and roll and football, you know, they go together.
They go together, absolutely.
Well, they certainly do for us. As I said, Johnny, thank you so much, and thanks to everyone for listening. If you want to listen to Willie McStay's podcast, we had done a two-part with Willie a while back. I just can't think of the episode number because we've done so many now. But if you check it out, it's on. We're on Acast, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, and all the major ones. So if you want to listen to us again, you don't want to miss an episode, hit the subscribe or follow button. It doesn't cost anything, and you'll get all the podcasts and audio. You'll also get the Celtic Soul podcast and audio on our YouTube channel, Celtic Fanzine TV. And you'll also find the videos we do there. We've done some great interviews over the last almost 2 years. As I said earlier on, Jimmy Brown from UB40, with Paul Heaton, then with Peter Hooton from The Farm, with loads and loads of ex-Celtic players, and of course the most important ones. We've spoke to so many fans. And all that stuff's up there. You'll find Talk from the Terrace, the Grand Old History Pod, and so forth. Please support the fans, Ian. Thank you so much. 21 years this year. We're having a little dinner in Glasgow to raise some funds for the Kana Foundation. That's sold out, but we will be doing some more charity stuff as well. As I said earlier, please follow us on social media. You'll find us on all the older ones, the Facebooks and the LinkedIns and Twitters and Instagram, but there's so many now and so many new ones. We can't be on them all. Check out the website, CelticFanzine.com, where you get all our news and articles on a daily basis. What else is there? Yeah, we've got some new T-shirts coming out, so check out our shop. And if you like what we do and you'd like to support us, you can buy a fanzine, buy a T-shirt, or donate for the price of a pint, all on our website, CelticFanzine.com. Unfortunately, we can't play out of the show anymore with music because we've been hit with some copyright issues. But that's it then, folks. Tune in next week again. We'll be back next week again, and we'll have another great guest on, and they'll be opening their Celtic souls to us. I think today wasn't really a Celtic soul, it was more of a Sligo soul. So I'm just going to leave the last word to Johnny.
Well, as I say, Andrew, it's great. Looking forward to the new season. February 19th, Sligo Rovers against Bohemians. So hail, hail to Sligo, hail, hail to Celtic, hail, hail to St. Pauli, and hail, hail to the rock and roll.
Keep the faith, Johnny.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.